Ek kan met sekerheid sê vanoggend is ek in die teenwoordigheid van Godvreesende mense wat lief is vir Jesus Christus, because ek ervaar opwindenheid onder die mense terwyl hulle geld gee. Kom ek sê vir jou, dis 'n wonderwerk daai hoor. Wel, jy hoef nie op te staan nie, maar groet mense rondom jou met 'n high five. Oh, social distancing. Oh, ja, nee, nee. Maar die wet laat het dan toe, as jy in die teenwoordigheid met mense is wat jy nou, dit is ons familie, dan mag jy ons nader sit, so ons is familie. Ja, ek weet, daar is een relinkie of twee wat ons nou oorskry en so, maar ons vraag vir verskoning vir dit. Folks, we've been speaking last couple of weeks about being thankful. We looked about being thankful and looking around you for things to be grateful for, and then last week in particular we looked at being thankful when things are hard, when things are difficult, when there's nothing to be thankful for. And we looked at 5 points just quickly that could help us in this regard, and it's understanding what's really important for where we are at in our lives that will help us. Focusing on things above while still being grounded, that will help us. Understanding the difference between joy and happiness, these things will help us to be grateful in times of leanness. And number 4, ensuring that your spirit is stronger and more fed than your flesh will also help us. And then also realizing that at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only that can really give us an attitude of gratitude when times are difficult. And one of the scriptures that I'd put in the notes for last week, but actually didn't get to read it, I just want to touch base with you guys on that this morning. And it's so relevant for where people might find themselves. And it's from Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. It's not the theme scripture for this morning. We're going to get to that. This is just to recap for those that have missed out on this series that we're busy with. But it says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, and even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty. Nou, laat jou verbeelding bietjie loop daarso saam met jou. Dink net wat die ou baas daarso beskryf. Dis nag daarso, nê. Dit gaan sleg. Daar's niks nie. The petrol price has gone up. The interest rate has gone up. Salary cuts, pay cuts. The working week has gone down to 3 days a week. There's retrenchments, all sorts of things going on. It's really a difficult time that the writer is busy describing. And then he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hoe doen ons dit? Dames en heren, menslik gesproke is, ons kan dit nie doen nie. Daar is niks om oor bly te wees nie, dit is net nag. Jy sê vir my, Mazie, hoe kom dit dan bly wees? Dit is net nag en dit is so. But we looked at Paul's secret last week. Paul describes the things that he can do that I've learned to be grateful in plenty and in lack when I'm full and when I'm starving. And then he goes on to say in verse 13 of Philippians, we studied it last week, where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He realized that this nie say eitel vermoë, or his tenacity, or his ability to stay committed or dedicated or disciplined. He realized, mense gesproke, ek kan dit nie doen nie. But I can do these things through Christ who strengthens me. And the scripture says, yet, ten spyte van al die goed, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer and able to tread upon the heights. And keeping with this thankfulness theme this morning, we started off speaking about being thankful, and that's good. Some of us are grateful. You're grateful for various things in your life. Some of us have grown to the point where we are thankful even when there's nothing to be thankful for. Remember, we looked at the difference between happiness and joy. And happiness is, you like happy when things on the outside are okay, but joy is something deeper inside, something that God does for you. That's why the scripture speaks about one of the fruit of the Spirit being joy and not happiness. This week we're learning that thankfulness is a stepping stone to generosity. Don't pick it out word. Because as jy nie dankbaar is vir iets nie, jy gaan nie vrygewig wees nie. You're going to, there's three people that you're going to look after. Me, myself and I. En as hy iets dan oorbly, daarna gaan jy begin kyk na ander. So, thankfulness is the stepping stone to generosity. Now I'm going to read a passage of scripture this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, it is radical. It is radical. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus starts, as he often did, speaks about, I say, die koninkryk van God is soos. Die koninkryk van God is soos. And he goes on, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like this. And once he lays the foundation, weer eens vir ons oor hoe die koninkryk van God is, he goes on to give us a radical, radical, radical teaching. And basically Jesus summarizes what it's going to be like when the world and all of its nations are in front of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And he starts pouring out his judgment and deciding who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. And ek kry hoendervleis hierso, en dit is nie as gevolg van die ekon nie, because ek besef, I suggest that we pay attention to this passage of scripture. This is like God saying, okay guys, you want to know waar volgens gaan daar gemeet word oor wie hemel toe gaan en wie hel toe gaan? This is how I'm going to measure. And the teaching of Jesus here, theologies gewys, blows my mind. Because it's as if Jesus is saying, now listen carefully, don't go and misquote me on this, and when you're watching this online, don't say I'm preaching heresy. It is as if Jesus is teaching that you can do things to get into heaven. But I'm going to explain to you from the scripture that that's not the case. This is a radical, radical portion of scripture. So, if you're following in your Bibles or on screen, Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read from verse 31. Matthew 25 from verse 31. Are you ready, church? All right. And he says this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, imagine that. By the way, they outnumbered demons 2-1. The Bible says that when Satan rebelled against God, he kicked Satan out and 1/3 of the angels fell. They then became demons. That means there's 2/3. So they outnumbered. Woohoo! Hallelujah. So, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. En ek wil net daar so stop. Ek wil net mediteer daar, maar ek kan nie, ek moet preek. He will sit in His glorious throne and all the nations, all of the nations will be gathered before Him. Those who believe in Jesus, those who don't. Those who worship God and those who don't. In 2014, we had the privilege of doing a missionary trip to Tanzania to release the Jesus film under the Kabwe and the Zaneke speaking people. The Jesus film was translated into their language. And I expected God to give me this major revelation on this awesome missionary trip. We rode 8,000 kilometers on our motorcycles in places where there were no roads. There's net a plek waar jy ry. It was tough. Tough. And I expected God to give me this major revelation. And coming back, you know what I realized? When you look at the people and the land, you can clearly see the countries where Jesus is exalted as opposed to where He is not. You can see the poverty, the depression, the pain, and the suffering. You see it in the people, in their faces, in the ground itself, in the animals, in everything. And that's what I realized. Where Jesus is exalted, there's just a difference. And the Bible says that all of the nations, all of the nations are going to be before Jesus as He sits on His throne. All of the nations. Imagine that. How many people in the planet today? 8 billion odd and counting, even as we speak. There's people being born and dying. Okay. So all the nations will be gathered in His presence. And He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. I wonder what that's like. Imagine the goats. They're probably going to be wondering, hey, what's going on? Stumple apart, kop it out. Hey, what's going on here? Maybe there's going to be like a promotion award ceremony. And while this going on, all this corpse stomping will be going on. Eh? And all the sheep will just be like, just following Jesus. Because sheep are created to follow. Isn't it interesting that Jesus in the scriptures calls us sheep? How many of you know that we need a leader to follow? We're created to worship something. And he's going to separate, like it says, not like a judge, not like an angry dictator, not like a lord that lords it over people, but like a shepherd. A shepherd cares. A shepherd nurtures. A shepherd loves. A shepherd protects. A shepherd looks after. A shepherd is a shepherd, a herder. And like a shepherd, it says, separates the sheep from the goats. And it gets exciting. And he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Wat was God se doelwit met ons van dag een af? Voordat ons vir die eerste keer gesondig het, wat was sy doelwit vir ons gewees? Om sy koninkryk te beërwe. Come to me, all of you, for whom God has prepared this kingdom. He's prepared this kingdom for you. And remember, who's he talking to? The sheep. And to us. That's right. That my Father's prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you checked out my booty. No! Stay focused. I was naked and you clothed me. Hallelujah. Just to get your attention. I was naked and you clothed me. And you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Can you see how far generosity goes? You see, wat doen ons? Well, ek weet nie van julle nie, maar ek en myself regtigheid. I assess the person whether the person is worthy or not of receiving these finances that God has entrusted me with. I first check the person out and suss them. Are they going to use it? Are they going to abuse it? Do they deserve it? Are they hard? I come up with all this criteria. Meantime, when you do these things, you're doing it as unto the Lord. Very, very different, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very different. And he says, when you've done this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And then, everybody say, then. Now it gets C for serious. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for bad people. No. Hell. Listen. Brothers and sisters, hell was never ever meant to be for people. Hell was not created for people. God sends nobody to hell. The Bible says this, away with you, you wicked ones, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. Hell was created for Satan and the demons, not for people. Daarom sê ek vir julle vanoggend die waarheid is, mense kies om hel toe te gaan. People choose to go there. God don't send anybody to hell. There's scriptural proof. Hell is not meant for bad people. That's good news. Because ek so lank al 'n plek gehad het daarso met my naam en nommer daarop. Hierdie is gereserveer vir Mossie, 'n spesiale plek. sit hom nie waar het rooi warm is nie, sit hom waar het wit warm is, because dis wat hy verdien. Julle lag, dit is so. Ek was nie altyd so oulik nie. Hel! Colette is thinking himself, he's right! Listen to him! He's right! Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Verse 42. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. And then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. Sure. And I will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness will go into eternal life. Mensen, this is a skrikwekkende gedeeltekst vers, nee. It is like, wow, Lord. It's almost as if God is saying that those who have done this will get to heaven, and those who have done this will get to hell. But I'm going to show you that's not what the scripture is saying. What the scripture is saying is this. Thankfulness is the first step towards godly generosity. And we know that salvation is not earned. But in this passage of scripture, it appears to be so. But what the scripture is saying is this. It illustrates, listen carefully, and this is the gist of it this morning, that those who have inherited salvation show generosity. Those who have, wat die ewige lewe beerwe het, het die eienskap van vrygewigheid. The characteristic of somebody that has inherited salvation is generosity. Why? Because you're thankful that you have been saved. You're thankful that you're safe. You're thankful. And as a result, you realize, Lord, ek het dit nie verdien nie, as ons eerlik is met mekaar, die sê, Lord, I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But I'm saved. And you start to express gratitude towards other people. So what this passage of scripture is saying, it is not at all saying, because we know that we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ons is gered deur geloof, genade. So it's not saying that if you do this, as jy vrygewig is, gaan jy hemel toe, en as jy synig is, gaan jy, it's not saying that, it's saying that those who have inherited salvation, they have a characteristic of generosity. And what we're speaking about this morning is godly generosity. In my notes, I mentioned it several times. In the care group leaders, you see, it is highlighted, bold, and it's in italics. Godly generosity, godly generosity. Well, what is the difference then between godly generosity and normal generosity? Well, we're going to see this. Jesus basically says that those who go to heaven versus those who go to hell can be differentiated by who was generous and who was not. And we're calling this godly generosity because there's a difference. Now, there's a difference between scattering seed and sowing seed. Wie van julle het al gehoor, jy het saad, jy moet jou saad saai. You trust God for a new bike. So transport seeds into other people's lives. Buy them a back tire, help pay their petrol, contribute towards their monthly car payment. That seed, because the Bible says seed produces after its own kind. You trust in God to own your own house one day? Help somebody pay their rent. Mark it sin, what say? Mark it sin? I'm getting a lot of blank stares this morning. Okay. Let me just get practical. As jy mielies soek, jy plant nie tamatie saad nie, nee. Wat 'n saad plant jy? You get the point? Right. So there's a difference between scattering seed and sowing seed. The first time I applied this to my life was, I got so many examples like this, but this is real. Nobody can take this from me. I was trusting God for an Arai helmet. Those of you who've shopped for Arai helmets, you'll understand why you need to trust God for an Arai helmet. I gave 3 helmets away before I reaped my first Arai helmet. I used to cut my hair a certain way, and I used to tell the guys, that's in preparation for the Arrow helmet that God is going to give me. Guess what? One morning, I woke up, and what was on my bedside on the dressing table? An Arrow box with my first Arrow helmet in it. Thank you, baby. I'll never forget that. So seed produces after its own kind, and so I can go on and on. But there's a difference between scattering seed and throwing seed. Kom ons weer terug by geldsake. Scattering is throwing finances at situations without much heartfelt thought or concern for the needs of the people. That's scattering seed. Ek het geld, I'm flush, en ek stel jy eindelijk belang in die welsyn van die mense, of hulle issues nie, ja, gee maar daar geld, laat hulle maar gaan, nie, so vat die geld en gaan maar. That's scattering seed. Or not considering that soil that you're putting it into, is it fertile soil? Is it going to produce a harvest and a crop? Is it worthwhile? Of gaan hy persoon daar geld maar net weer misbruik weer eens? How many of you know that, I was going to use an example of sowing into certain governments, we know that that's not worthwhile, but I won't do that. That's for another preach. But the examples where you just scatter seed, it's not worth your while putting the money that God has entrusted you there, because it's not, that is scattering seed. It is like soothing our prickling consciences. Net laat ons bietjie beter kan voel, daarom gooi ek maar geld daar so in die richting. Meantime, God is calling, He might not even be calling you to sow financially. Hy wil hê, jy, fisies, moet daar so wees en 'n bydra maak. Ietsie optel, ietsie regmaak, iets help aandra. Staan jy wat ek sê? He might be calling you for your physical presence. He might be calling somebody else to sow financially. So that's scattering seed. So what is sowing seed then? Sowing seed is where you prayerfully consider where God wants you to sow the finances that He's entrusted you with. That's sowing seed carefully and being specific. Lord, I'm trusting you for this. Sommige mense sê, daar's verkeerde leerings wat sê, nou, jou motiewe is verkeerd as jy Here vertrou vir iets as jy gee. Oh, really? Okay. So what farmer plants a crop without expecting a harvest? Jy doen dit, natuurlijk verwag jy oes. Of course you expect all this. You're trusting God for something. Yes, you bless other people, but it is okay, ladies and gentlemen, to trust God for a return on your harvest. The Bible teaches us that. That's what sowing is. Lord, prayerfully consider. Now, here's the deal when it comes to giving. It's one thing saying, letting the Lord choose the harvest, right? Jy het 'n wys vir my waar moet ek saai. But how many of us get to the point where we let God choose the seed? You see, in die een geval, I say, Lord, I'm going to take $100 and I feel that you're leading me to sow it into that organization. On the other hand, I could say this, all right? There's this organization. Lord, you tell me how much I must give. Ladies and gentlemen, when we live there, you will see God do the miraculous in your life. I remember the first time I let God do that. Boy, I was sorry. Yo, I was sorry. Ek het 'n harde les geleer, but a valuable one that changed my life forever. And it's fine for you to determine the seed. But when you let God determine the seed, you watch God do the impossible in your life. In the midst of a failing economic climate. God is just God. So that's the difference between sowing and scattering seed. Now here's the deal. Mense gesproke, ons het nie die oplossing vir armoede nie. We can't. They've worked out that right now, at any given time in the world, there's enough finances and resources in the world for everybody to live really, really comfortably. And they've worked out that it will take a certain amount of time for those that are in armoede, before long, they'll be back there again. Jesus teaches us this. We do not have the solution for poverty. In John 12 and verse 8, Jesus says, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." There Jesus says it. I'll give you another example. When the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, out of the land of bondage and slavery, on their way to the promised land, God was with them. I mean, God was with them. There were pillars of smoke and pillars of fire. Water was coming out of rocks. They had so much meat that was coming out of their nostrils, literally. Their clothes weren't wearing out. Their clothes were going with them. They were being provided for supernaturally, and yet there were still poor people amongst them. Why? Why? You see, ladies and gentlemen, here's the truth. Poverty is not a shortage of money. Poverty is a symptom of the condition of the heart. Poverty is a symptom of the condition of the heart. And that's what we need to let God fix. That is why even God was with his people and showing himself so mightily, there were still people who refused to let God touch their hearts. They just refused to let God touch their hearts. Daarom was hulle altyd in armoede. That's why the scripture says in Psalm 37, "I was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." So, the solution for poverty is not throwing money at it. Jesus didn't give money to everybody who asked him. Let me say that again. Jesus did not give money to everybody who asked him. I mean, he could have made money, man. He got tax money out of a fish. What would you call such a fish? Oh, man. If that was the case, I think I would also take up fishing. Imagine you gooi vis aan. Jy regte aas elke keer wat jy ding uittrek en sê, mag jy net vol van ching daar sê. But Jesus didn't give money to everybody who asked him. Why is this that the poor will always be among us? Well, there's a condition of a heart that we need to let God fix. Right. Now, yes, there's people. There are some very generous people in this church. You get people that give, and then you get people that have the gift of giving. This is a gave. Hulle kan hulle self nie help nie, and that's cool. They are givers, and that's cool. But to those people, I want to say this morning. If that's you, listen carefully. Givers need to set limits because takers seldom do. Did you get that? Daar's mense, hulle gaan advantage vat van jou, bro. They'll take advantage of you. They'll milk you and suck you dry for everything you've got. And they're so lazy they won't lift their hand to their mouths to feed themselves. Givers need to set limits because takers seldom do. So bear that in mind. And remember, ons het nie die antwoord vir armoede nie. See, God needs to touch that person's heart. Now, here's the deal when it comes to giving and being generous. We have no scriptural or moral obligation to give to those who refuse to work. It's very, very quiet now. We have no scriptural obligation to give to those who refuse to work. Welfare was never ever intended to reward people for laziness. The strongest empire in the then known world was the Roman Empire, and it was crippled because they introduced welfare. It collapsed because of the introduction of welfare, not because there was a country whose army was stronger. Welfare was never meant to reward slothfulness. The Bible says that if you do not work, you will not eat bread. It is a universal, there's a beginsel. So there's no scriptural obligation to reward people who do not want to work. So, how many of you, now I'm cutting really, really close to the bone this morning because we're family, is that okay? How many of you would willfully support a ring of car hijackers? You'd support them financially to make sure that they've got guns, they've got ammo, they've got getaway vehicles, that they've got a secret place to hide. Some of you are smiling, you're thinking, "Mozzie, you've bust me." How many of you would willfully support a ring of gang members that break into homes and steal people's homes? How many of you would willfully support them? Would you willfully do that? Okay. Then why, ek vra jou met trane in my ore, why do we sometimes willfully support those who continuously steal from God? Why do we do that? Where people, soos Kobus gesê het, week na week na week is daar ietsie oor wat die skrif sê, om God te besorg, terug te besorg aan hom. And every now and again, the people that make the announcements, they still make a mistake. Now and then, I'm praying for them, they say, you must pay your tithe. Jy kan nie jou tithe betaal nie, because dis nie jou nie, jy besorg het terug aan God, is syne. Hallo. You can't pay your tithe, it's God's, you're returning it to him. And the scripture says, if you're not doing that, you're stealing from God. Why must you continuously support somebody who continuously steals from God? There's no obligation in the Bible for us to do that. We are under no obligation to support those who steal from God. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Folks, this is serious stuff. Why? Because as we get closer to the return of Jesus, which we're speaking about as he comes with his angels, we're going to have to be accountable for each and every single cent that we get between our fingers. Because God has entrusted us with that stuff. You see, the question is not how much are you willing to give to God, but how much do you dare keep for yourself? Ooh, mense, hier is nie die type prekerij wat mense opstaan en sê, hallelujah, preek pastoor, amen. But we need to hear this, okay? We need to hear this. How much do we dare keep for ourselves? You see, tithing is not the ceiling of giving. It's just the beginpunt. It helps us to realize that God is the source of everything. It's his. Let's just give back to him what is his. And let him entrust us with what we can be trusted with afterwards. So this thing is a process. We're going somewhere with this thing in our week number three with us. Being thankful. Then being thankful when there's nothing. Then once we're thankful, learning to be generous and what generosity means and what we do with it. So we have a responsibility. Why did Jesus not give to everybody who asked him? Well, we have a responsibility to give. We do. We do that. I mean, there we saw in that teaching that Jesus gave, this is one of the characteristics of people that have inherited salvation. You see, hulle was vrygewig geweest. So we do have a scriptural responsibility to give. But just as weighty and heavy as that responsibility is to give, we have a responsibility to teach. We have a responsibility to teach people to be stewards of that which God has given them. Okay? We have a responsibility to teach. It's just as big a responsibility as we have to give. Where do we get this from? Three scriptures quickly as we start to land this thing. We're starting to land. The wheels aren't out yet, but we're slowing down and we're coming to a lower altitude. Okay, are you with me, churches? Amal nog hierso. Okay. We have a responsibility to give as well as to teach. Deuteronomy 15. Verse 7 and 8 says, but if there are any poor Israelites in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend. Everybody say lend. It doesn't say give, it says lend them whatever they need. What does lend mean? Div, ek leen vir jou iets. Wat beteken dit? Dit sê, beteken niks nie. Annemarie sê, jy moet dan teruggee. Eventually, wanneer jy in 'n posisie is om dit te doen, moet jy dit dan teruggee. Lend to those. Can you see, it's a different, there are many, many other scriptures that speak about giving. Yes, there's a time and a place where you give someone, no comebacks, no conditions, nothing, and you just, that's a different thing. But ladies and gentlemen, there's also a time when people need to be lent something to learn responsibility. To learn responsibility. You must lend them whatever they need. Psalm 37, two verses there quickly. 21 and verse 26. Psalm 37, 21. The wicked borrow and never repay. So, what type of people are those that repay? Righteous people. They repay what they borrowed. But the godly are generous givers. Verse 26. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Why are these things in the scripture? Several reasons quickly. Number one, this principle teaches accountability and stewardship. Accountability and stewardship. It teaches people that God is the source and not people. If you come to me and every time you just give, who's going to be your source? Me and not God. This, when we give people something, we say, right, we teach them the principles of tithing as well. So they say, okay, this which you've given now, 10% hiervan is God se nou. Wat gaan jy daarmee maak? You're being tested in this very instant that your need is being met. You're being tested. What are you going to do with it? So it teaches people that God is their source and not people. Otherwise, they'll keep going to people and people. But why does God want us to learn all these things? Mosie, dis in elk geval so moeilik. Ek het so gesukkel om te leer en konsentreer by die skool. Ek kan nie dit ook nog onthou nie. There's a reason. Because God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be like Him. God is a generous God. He wants every one of us to be in a position to give to those in need. He wants every one of us to be in a position where our vats are overflowing, where we have enough to have our needs met and also have enough that we can meet the needs of other people. Can you see the difference there, ladies and gentlemen? That's why these things are in place, where God wants to teach us these principles. Stewardship and accountability. That people can learn that God is the source and not us, and also that we can be like Him. He's a generous giver. And I'm going to close with this verse. God expressed His love in the greatest way possible by giving. God didn't come to earth and give us a groot lekker oop bek nat soen. Hy het ons gevry. He didn't express His love like that. He expressed His love by giving. Waar het hy begin? In the beginning, God said, let there be. Bang! And it happened. He gave us this beautiful, beautiful universe. And guess what? There are many, many more like it. I'm looking forward to that. I'm really, really looking forward. I'm looking forward to be able to travel at the speed of thought. Jy dink, jy wil net na by die ster wees en sê, jy is daar. That's lekker. That's lekker. And that's how God He gave. He gave. He gave us this beautiful planet. And then ultimately, He gave us Jesus. John 3 and verse 16. That made it possible for us to experience all of these things. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do not get the principles right concerning financial things, how are we going to get the principles right concerning eternal life? To recap what we've spoken about today, generosity is a character of those that have inherited salvation. Generosity teaches us that there's a difference between sowing and scattering. It teaches us that we do not have an answer for poverty. God is the answer for poverty. It needs to cure a condition of the human heart. God wants us to be in a position where we are stewards, where we are accountable, where people will learn that God is the source and not us, and that we can get to a place where we can be like Him, generous givers. That passage of Scripture speaks about people being around those that are hungry and thirsty and cold and lonely and in prison. That means we'll have to get our hands dirty sometimes. What are the areas that God is calling you to be more generous in? Maybe, as you sit here this morning, it's got nothing to do with finances at all. Maybe it's got nothing to do with money at all. Maybe you're so broke that you can't even pay attention. Maybe you're so flushed that all you've been doing is just scattering. Instead of saying, Lord, how can I get involved? Maybe God wants you to give some of your time. Maybe God wants you to just listen to what somebody has to say. Jy moet net luister. Hulle verwag jy is 'n antwoord op 'n oplossing van jou nie. Verwag net jy moet luister. I don't know where you are at, my brother, my sister, but God knows. I'm going to pray for us this morning that God helps us by His Spirit settle this thing in our hearts. Is that okay? Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you this morning and allow you by your Spirit to work in our hearts, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you know us where we are at, and you know our needs, and you know the areas where we can be a blessing to other people. You know the areas where we've been faithful with our finances, and you know the areas where we've been not. You know the areas, Lord God, where we have waar ons van ons tyd gegee het and van ons skills and ons talents and abilities and ander mense se lewens ingesaai. As people seek your face this morning, Lord, would you give us wisdom to have this kind of godly generosity where we prayerfully consider where to sow the seeds that you've entrusted to us. And as we're in this attitude of prayer, Lord, I pray for you, for those that don't know this side of you, those that don't know that you're a good, generous, giving Father, those that just know you as the one who's going to pour out judgment and wrath on Judgment Day. I pray for those who do not have that relationship with you that you long for from us. And my brother, my sister, this is the most important time of the entire service this morning. As people are praying all over right now for you specifically, examine your life. And if you don't have that relationship with Jesus like you really, really want, where you can call Jesus a friend and God a loving Father, and you're not sure which side you would be on, with the sheep or with the goats, if that's you, I would love to pray with you this morning. Maybe there was a time when you were sure and you're not sure anymore. Miskien is jy 'n skaap met bokmeigings and jy's nie 100% seker nie. Maar dit is fyn. Jy's by die regte plek vanoggend. Hier's geen volmaakte mens in hierdie vertrek behalwe Koning Jesus. So we'd love to pray with you. And if you're at that place in your life this morning where you're not sure where you are in your relationship with God, please, just quickly, I'd love to pray with you. Just slip up your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody? Thank you. There's hands going up all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Bless you. Bless you. I want to pray for those specifically this morning that have raised their hands. Here, U sien elke persoon se hart. U weet presies wat dit is vir daai onsekerheid veroorsaak het vanoggend. Miskien is dit 'n area in hulle lewens waar hulle genuine gesondig het en droog gemaak het. Miskien is dit net 'n leuen wat die duiwel hulle vertel het en hulle so oortuig dit is die waarheid dan in hulle lewens. Ongeag waar hulle self bevind. Heilige Gees, werk in hierdie kosbare lewens. Elke persoon wat nederig genoeg was om hulle handjie op te steek en sê, Here, hier's ons ek. Dis nie dat Mozzie hulle hand kan sien nie, hulle wys hulle nederigheid voor U. Sien daai lewe raak. Daai mens, hulle wêreld wat aangaan in hulle wêreld, sien dit dan raak in die naam van Jesus Christus. En as jy hand opgesteek het en jy weet jy's nie op 'n goeie plek met die Here, bid net hierdie eenvoudige gebed van geloof. Waar jy in jou hart dan sê, Here, ek besef en ervaar ek is 'n sondaar. Ek vra U nou om my te vergewe. Dankie Jesus vir U vergifnis. Dankie dat U gesterf het vir my sondes en U bloed gestort om te betaal vir my sondes en my skoon te was heeltemal van vooraf te begin. Dankie dat U weer van na 3 dae opgestaan het uit die dood sodat ek die belofte kan glo van 'n ewigheid saam met die hemelse Vader. Here, maak my U kind vanoggend, o Heilige Gees. Van vandag af maak ek 'n belofte teenoor U om U te volg met al my vermoë vir die res van my dae. Dankie dat U lief is vir my. Dankie dat van nou af kan ek weer eens besef ek is 'n kind van God. In Jesus se naam. Amen. Hallelujah. We celebrate with you this morning. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time in your life, we'd love you to come and see one of us after the service this morning. Speak to somebody. Or, miskien het jy gemeente waar jy gereeld gaan en dis jou geestelike tuiste. Gaan dan terug soon toe. Maak seker hulle sorg vir jou en dat jy kan verstaan wat gebeur het as jy daai gebed gebid het vir oggend. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd love to give you a little booklet. En as jy een van hierdie boeke het, moenie vir nog eene kom vra asseblief. Hulle is beperk. Maar ons wil dit graag vir jou gee. If you prayed that prayer of salvation and you've made your heart right with God, we'd love to give you a little booklet that says Knowing and Experiencing God. Of in Afrikaans, ken en ervaar God. Iemand gaan voorwees hierso om vir jou daai boekie te gee, dat jy kan verstaan waaroor dit gaan. Please make sure if you've prayed that prayer, you get one of those booklets. Thank you for making the time to listen to us this morning and fellowship with us. We've gone on a little bit over our time, but we thank you for your patience. I trust that you were challenged and you learned something by this morning's message. I'm going to pray the final blessing over you now, and the deep end is just going to lead us in the time of worship one more time that we can see our way out this morning. We love you and appreciate you. May the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. May Almighty God bless you truly and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for coming this morning. We love you and appreciate you. God bless you. Let's stand as we worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you to the deep end.